Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Monday, June the 11th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by fellow DolphinsTalk.com blogger Bobby Melendez as we are going to talk about Landry, the OTAs, Miami's roster a little bit, and some other things. So be on the lookout for that. But before we get to that spot I had with Bobby, there's a couple things I want to talk about. First and foremost, it's a bit of a slow week. The Miami Dolphins had their mandatory minicamp last week, and they canceled the final day of that because, as I've always said, this time with the OTAs and the minicamps in May and June, it's not worthless, but there's no importance really on any of this stuff. It's just pretty much a way for the team to check in with the players, make sure nobody is grossly overweight, that they're all where they should be physically with their weight and with their conditioning, so that, you know, because right now we are at the first week of June or so, the second week of June. You come the last week of July, and these guys are in camp, and they have to be in shape. They have to pass the conditioning test. So this is these OTAs. It's not even so much about practice because you can't practice in shorts. It's just pretty much a way for the team to check in on the players, make sure everyone is, in shape. They're looking good. Everyone's healthy. If someone's rehabbing from an injury, that they're working on their stuff and such. It's not practices where you can judge anything by or you'll learn anything. And I get into that when I talk with Bobby here in a few minutes. We go over this because there's one story that drove me absolutely insane. So these OTAs, while they're not worthless, they have very little value. And I think that's part of the reason why Miami canceled the last day of their mandatory minicamp. Why have guys out there in shorts running around where someone could twist a knee, something like that, and get hurt and then have to miss some time? It's just not worth it. So that was canceled. Now, this upcoming week, starting today, June 11th, they will start their final OTA sessions. This one will go from June 11th through June 14th. So that is starting this week. And then once this week's over with those OTAs, we're not going to hear much of anything until that last week of July. Because then these guys are going to be on their own. They're not going to have to report for anything at the facility. It's pretty much their vacation time where each player, they don't have to be anywhere. They can just sort of spend some time, relax with their friends, relax with their family, take a vacation, because come late July, that is the real grind that starts back up, that goes from July to January, where the guys, are putting in the work and they have to report every day and all that such. So after this week, it's going to get real slow on the news because this week is the last week of the mandatory, it's the last week of the OTA sessions for the Miami Dolphins, which is starting up today. We'll see what they do this week. I wouldn't even expect them to do much of anything. I think it just, they might hold one or two practices, but if you even want to call it a practice, because it's really not. It's just a bunch of guys in shorts running around. In other news, the New England Patriots lost their wide receiver Julian Edelman for the first 4 games of the season. Now, I know some of you are asking, why are you talking about that? How's that tying to the Dolphins? It ties into the Dolphins in that the Miami Dolphins play the Patriots week 4. which means when Miami faces them in Foxborough on September 30th, they will not have to face Julian Edelman. So there's that. They catch a little break there. Look, it's still Tom Brady at the end of this day, and he's still got Gronkowski. And, you know, they're going to find some other wide receiver who will put out there in a spot and will play out of his mind. But they do catch a little break there with Edelman having to miss that game. Other than that, there's really not much happening right now. So we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, I will be joined by Bobby Melendez as we talk about a few hot topics surrounding the Miami Dolphins football team.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Joining me on the hotline is Bobby Melendez from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Bobby, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, great to have you back on the show. Things are so slow, though, but there is a few things to talk about here. As late last week, there was some news, not really out of Miami, out of Ohio mainly, where Jarvis Landry spoke to some reporters in Cleveland, and he had some, let's say, not so flattering things to say about the Miami Dolphins and their quarterbacks, where Landry said that the quarterback situation is a lot better there in Ohio than it was in Miami, and he's excited about that, which, you know, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. It really did, for many reasons. I think first and foremost, A, nobody really believes it, but I sort of understand he's on the Browns. He has to say that about the people on his team now. That part doesn't bother me. That's that quote-unquote talk any player has to say about the team he's at. I get that. But the fact he sort of roped Miami into this, he could have just said nice things about his quarterbacks with the Browns and Tyrod Taylor and, of course, Mayfield, and just sort of left it at that. But when he threw in that jab saying it's a lot better than what I had in Miami, I'm excited about that. It's like there's no reason for that. There was no reason to bring Miami into this. It's sort of like, I don't know. And there's lots of things to talk about here. With that, and that's what I wanted to talk about here. First off, I think all the things that were talked about back in February when there was still some talk whether Miami would resign him or not, and there was some hesitation on the part of the Miami Dolphins saying, well, you know, there's some things here behind the scenes we don't like and such. And then, of course, Landry with his agent went nuts, was talking to the media, said, how could they say that, this, that, and the other. This sort of proves it right, though. Because Landry, once again, did not have to take a shot at the Miami Dolphins. And he, you know, he had his opportunity, and he did. So what were your thoughts on this? And then we'll sort of take it from there.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you on this whole thing. I think, you know, this is your typical case, in my opinion, of a former player, a former star, going to a new team and, you know, he's saying, you know, where when he goes to a place and he's just saying, you know, he's in a better place. You know, he's just, you know, trying to put roses and while he's throwing rocks and hitting subtle shots at his former team, he's just trying to make himself feel better. I think he's still kind of hurt and offended, you know, that Miami didn't give him the money he deserved or that he thinks he deserved when he was here. When he's trying to get that contract, I think he was, I don't know, you know, I think he should just be taking the high road and letting it go. I think, I don't think he was making sense with what he was saying, you know, saying about the quarterback, you know, taking the shot at Ryan, Tannehill with the Tyrod Taylor comments, you know, when he was talking about not getting together in that off season, I don't have that, I found it earlier, but I know there's reports of, you know, he was saying that that they never got together during the off season.
It's a lie.
The Miami quarterbacks, you know, that they never, and that's just not true. I mean, there's reports that Tannehill had gotten in the past, gotten together with his receivers, and I mean, I don't have that report in front of me. I could find it and I'll retweet it or whatever, but that's just not fact. So I just think, you know, to me, I just think it's just he's being, you know, I think he's still offended that he never got the money from Miami and never got the contract. I think he's upset that he's with Cleveland and he's just trying to make himself feel better. Because, you know, if you look at the numbers that he got when he played with Tannehill, when he played with, you know, with Ryan, I don't know if he's going to be able to duplicate those numbers with Tyrod Taylor. Maybe
he absolutely won't. He absolutely
Mayfield.
Won't.
You know, yeah. Maybe he'll get him with Mayfield. Who knows? But Tyrod Taylor cannot duplicate the numbers. He never really duplicated the numbers. And Tyrod's not a – I'm not trying to, you know, knock Tyrod Taylor. The guy's not a bad quarterback. But that guy's only had 3 years of production.
Yeah.
You know, he led – Buffalo to the playoffs 1 year, I think. But before that, he was with Baltimore as a backup. Tannehill has been consistently, you know, a good quarterback for Jarvis. And so I think Jarvis is trying to make himself feel better. I think Jarvis is in that term and, you know, is butthurt. He didn't get the contract he wanted. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and there's a few things here. First off, here's what makes no sense, because he did give another quote saying, or after he took that shot, he sort of gave some praise to Ryan Tannehill, saying, I think Tannehill's...
He did.
Yeah, he goes, I think Tannehill's skill level and the way he was playing the year we went to the playoffs before the injury was at a high level, and he could have taken us to a championship or whatever. Here's the thing, and then he actually says, I love Jay Cutler as well. Here's the thing. If that's the case, then why'd you take the shot saying that the quarterbacks with the Browns are better? That's number one. Number two, those guys in Miami, whether it was and let's just go off of last year alone, which was his best year in the pros for Landry. They gave him 112 receptions or so and put a lot of money in his pocket. So if you're taking a shot at Matt Moore and if you're taking a shot at Jay Cutler, that just means – and sorry for my language, you are an ungrateful son of a bitch. Because those guys, they gave you the year of your life just on the field statistically by feeding you the ball time and time again, and they put a lot of money in your pocket. So if you're taking a shot at them, you just come off as an ungrateful son of a bitch. If you're taking a shot at Ryan, then why? Like, what's the point? Why would you do that? He fed you the ball time and time again. He helped you get this huge payday with the Browns. You know, be somewhat grateful. Be somewhat grateful because those guys that you're sitting here knocking made you a lot of money. They made you a real lot of money. And, you know, sometimes it's just best to say nothing, which is what he should have done here. And, I don't know. I think when I first saw this the other day, the one thing that came to my mind, and I put this out on Twitter, was money. You can have all the money in the world, it can't buy class. And this is here Landry just being totally classless. I think when he first left Miami and it was announced he's going to be sent to the Browns and he's going to get his big payday with the Browns, fans of the Miami Dolphins, like myself, like you and so many others, you know, we were hurt, we were sad, but we sort of understood. And even though he wasn't going to be on Miami anymore, we were still going to root for him on some level, even though it's with the Browns. And it's like, okay, it sucks he's not here, but he didn't do nothing wrong. He wants to get paid. He's earned every cent. We understand how this works. And I think a lot of fans of the Dolphins, even though he wasn't on team, still were going to root for him, still were going to watch him, you know, and be like, I hope he does well. That's gone. I think that's out the window of these comments. I think any goodwill he had is just gone. And I think fans that, now, at this point, I'm like, screw you. I root for you no more. I don't care what you do. That's just out the window. Literally, they're not going to root for him. And one of the last things I'll say here is I will say this here for Landry. You might want to be careful running your mouth and talking now all this big game. Because what he doesn't know, or maybe he does know, but he's just naive to it. You are now in Cleveland, and this is not the knock on, you know, it's you are part of the Browns, and that is a place where NFL, a lot of guys in the NFL have gone and watched their time there die. They've gone there and literally just died as a player, and they never come out the same. You will go, I mean, you better be careful. This is bigger than you. There have been a lot of players with huge resumes have signed with the Browns, and they've never been the same again. And you better be careful, because if I don't think you're the guy who's going to turn around 25 years of luck and all that stuff. So you better be careful, because you are in Cleveland. You are in Cleveland, and not many people have played well there over the past, well, let's just say since 1999. Not many people have come out of there with a strong NFL career, and yours might just head there and die. You got your payday, but don't talk too much of a big game here until you actually win a few things here with the Browns.
And I will say, and I'll say very quick, with that point you just made right before your last statement with him, you know, when he had that, he's saying that he has a better quarterback at Buffalo than he had in Miami, then he had that good thing to say about Ryan, then he said he loved Jay. It just brings me back to my original point where I just think he's hurt. You know, he didn't get the money he wanted to get from Miami. You know, he gave Miami all, you know, the four first good years, you know, the record numbers. You know, he's still butthurt. You know, I think he realized that he got, you know, that what he was saying. But, you know, I think in the end, I think he's realized that, you know, he's trying to, you know, make his picture look a little more prettier in Cleveland. And it's not going to look prettier. And, you know, and I'm not trying to say Cleveland has a bad team here. You know, they've made themselves a pretty decent roster. But it's still Cleveland. And secondly, they've got a long way to go. You know, this whole dream team scenario doesn't work out all the time. That's happened in Miami. That's happened in Philadelphia a few years ago with Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens. It doesn't work out. So Jarvis Landry is just trying to make a prettier picture. And so I think he's just trying to save face with the whole I love Jay. And, you know, he wasn't wrong with Ryan Tannehill, you know, getting to that whole, you know, taking us to the playoffs, because Tannehill was having a very good year before he got hurt. And, you know, he could have took Miami to a deeper run into the playoffs. But, you know, I think he's mad at with Miami. He's still mad over everything, but he needs to learn to let it go. It's over now. You're in Cleveland. Yeah. You know, you're not making any more fans with anybody. You know, and you know, Mike, you know, you're making a good point here. He still has fans in Miami, but he's not going to have any more fans when you're still throwing stones at a glass house. Yeah. You know, time to cut the rope. Let it go.
Absolutely. And he better be careful too, because Tyrod Taylor, once again, he's an okay quarterback. He's not awful, but the one thing he was known for with the Bills, and the reason why they didn't want him anymore, is he could not get the ball to the receivers. And he checked down to tight ends and running backs all the time. And if you're Landry, maybe you don't know that. Maybe you haven't done a lot of homework on Tyrod Taylor. There was a reason last year Tyrod was the guy for the Bills. And I think they were like, I don't know, 5-4, 5-3, whatever they were at the time. And the head coach benched him for a rookie fifth-round pick.
How many times did they bench him?
They benched him for a rookie fifth-round pick who then went to throw 5 interceptions in the first half against the Chargers before they had to reluctantly head back to Tyrod Taylor. The only reason they made that move in Buffalo is because Tyrod couldn't get the ball to the wide receivers. Every play was a check down, middle of the field. They couldn't toss the ball down the field. So he better be careful, Landry, because now you're playing with a guy who's known for dinks and dunks and checkdowns, which you might not be a part of. Because in Miami, you were able to line up in the slot all the time because you had guys on the outside like Parker and some other guys who could put you in the slot. You're the man in Cleveland, okay? You're the number one receiver now. You might not be sitting in the slot all the time. Yes, they have some other guys. They have what? But you're going to be the guy. and you're going to be at receiver, not lined up in the slot all the time, you better hope and pray Tyrod Taylor found a way to throw the ball to wide receivers, because he did it in Buffalo. He never did it in Buffalo. And that's the reason he led them straight to the playoffs, and they still let him go because they didn't like him. Yeah, and they think he was holding them back.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you this, too. You know, and he took him to the playoffs, but in 2016, Tannehill under Gase had a rating of 93.7. But Taylor, the last two seasons, had rating under 90. And you, like you brought up the final point, they, how many times did they bench him last year? And reluctantly, McDermott had to put him back in. So, good luck in Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly.
With him as your starter.
I mean, yeah. I think they're going to win a few more games, obviously. I mean, look, they've won one game in two years.
They're a better team.
I think they'll get to 4 or 5. They got a great team on defense. I'll tell you that right now. They got one of the better teams in the league on defense. So that right there will help them win. So they're going to get to 4 or 5 wins, maybe 6. But Landry's talking a lot. He better look around that locker room and see who he's got. And he better hope and pray Mayfield's the real deal too, because that's his only hope of having big years with the Browns eventually down the road. Let's change topics here. And another thing, and this is going to sound like an angry show today, but even though it's really not, because it's the second week of June and there's not much to talk about, is the Miami Dolphins had their mini camp last week. And if you count the OTAs, they've had about about 9 days now of practice. And I always say, kind of podcast, if you've been listening the past however many weeks, I read nothing into these OTAs. I read nothing into these mini camps. It's guys in shorts running around on the field, just playing catch, running drills. I read nothing into it, and neither should you. And I've said this 100 times, and it drives me nuts when people start to read stuff into it. And there was one reporter, I don't want to say who, because honestly, off the top of my head, I can't remember. I think I know who it was. And I don't want to throw him under the bus. It's not that big a deal. But they reported that Miami Dolphins rookie tight end Mike Gesicki, you know, has looked lost in the OTAs. He looks behind everybody. He doesn't know what he's doing out there. He looks confused. And it just and now with just one reporter writing one article on that, it has set the narrative that by June 10th or 11th, Mike Gesicki's going to have a bad rookie year. He's behind everybody. He doesn't know what he's doing. It drove me absolutely insane. I mean, people, they're in shorts running around. It means literally nothing. There's no contact. There's no hitting. To label a rookie at this point, you know, lost or confused, doesn't know what's going on, it is ridiculous to the 100%. And one guy writes an article. It gets picked up by another guy. Then you get somebody from the national media. He picks up on that car. He writes an article saying, Mike Gesicki, already a Boston. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And that's the new narrative in Miami already. Mike Gesicki, after, you know, 6 or 7 OTA practices, is lost. He's behind. He's going to have a terrible rookie year. Doesn't know what's going on. And now, first it starts with one reporter. Then it goes to another reporter. It goes to a national reporter. Then you get the quote-unquote smart fans who have a blog. And they start, oh, well, everybody saw this coming. Mike, you got to be, folks. Do not read anything into this. Mike Gesicki, maybe he will have a bad year as a rookie, but I'm not going to say that in June. Can we at least put on the pads and watch him hit some people and watch and see how he plays when it's like real football? What are your thoughts, Bobby? Because I could go on for this forever. So what are your thoughts?
I think I'm with you, man. It's a non-story. He's a rookie. It's the second week of June. Some people are fast learners than others, a faster learner than others. He may be just a slow learner, he might not have a good rookie year. We might have AJ Derby as the starter and he might be the second string. Things might just pick up midseason for him. He might only have 2 touchdowns this year. People might call him a bust. And then the second year, sophomore year, he might break out. You can't judge a guy in the first, second week of June in OTAs. I'm sorry. Not going to do it. Durham Smith might have a great OTA. And he might have a great OTA, and he might be a bust. You know, so you can't judge this. So to me, it's a non-story. It's just what it is.
Yep, and that's something you said there is a great point, because every year when it comes to this time of the year, when the guys are in shorts, no hitting, no contact, there's always one or two guys who Miami signed as an undrafted rookie guy who goes here in these OTAs and all these mini camps. He's out playing the starters. This guy's flying around on the field. He's going to be great. Oh, my God, this guy looks amazing. And then come August, once they put on pads, they start hitting, you never hear the guy's name ever again, and he's a nobody. And it works the opposite way as well, which might be happening here. Mike Gesicki's a football player. This, you know, these OTAs, for people who don't know, and I'm not sure all fans totally understand what the OTAs are, what mini camp are. Most of the time, it's guys just doing workouts because they want to keep them in shape at the right weight. There's a lot of that, running and stuff like that. And the other thing is, it's guys, you know, working on fundamentals, maybe tweaking this, tweaking that, or you're doing it this way, and that's fine. But we here, we'd like you to do something this way, so you might just be working on something. And to say someone's lost on the field, I mean, first off, for any reporter to say that about a guy watching a rookie in a practice is just bad journalism. I mean, really. I mean, you don't know what they're asking them to do. You don't know. In a game, you can tell if someone's lost. Yes, that's very obvious. In a practice, especially in May and June, it's not. It's not obvious. So there's that. I don't know. It's like, and the stuff they have these guys do in these OTAs, in the mini camps, it's like some of it are just, I don't, it just drives me nuts. It's beyond stupid. And I mean, they're in shorts, for Christ's sakes. You cannot judge anything off this, but I can already see, I've seen that creeping. That's new narrative among the fans and among the media in Miami. Mike Gesicki, he's behind the eight ball. He's not picking things up quick. He's going to struggle. He looks lost on the field. One guy reports it. Another guy reports it. Up comes the national media. Then you get the fans with the blogs. You know, not all blogs are great. Yes, we are a fan site with blogs, and I think we do pretty good. And there are many other out there who are very good, but there's a couple that aren't. And those few that aren't, even though that they're not good, they still get people who go there, read them, and talk about them and stuff. And they're out there saying, oh, Mike Gesicki, he's going to be a – you got to be kidding me. You literally have to be kidding me. So, yeah, I wanted to mention that, people. If you read stuff on him, don't flip out. Don't overreact. Mike Gesicki is going to be fine, okay? He's going to be fine. I will say right here, right now, I would bet a large sum of money come week one against the Tennessee Titans. Mike Gesicki's the number one tight end on the Dolphins. He will be the starter. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll say it, but I think people are just overreacting over nothing. And talk to me come August, and then we will know a lot more then. Last thing I want to talk about real quick is the Miami Dolphins. You know, they got that $17 million sent to them June 1st, and, you know, half that money is going to be put aside to sign rookies and stuff. But they're still going to have a little bit left over to spend. I know they want to hold on to some to carry it over for next year's cap, which is very wise and what they probably should do. But it would not shock me to see them sign one or two guys here at a spot. Probably just one guy, maybe. Possibly two. But it wouldn't shock me. And I'll say this here in closing. Do not be shocked if the Miami Dolphins sign a defensive tackle here between now and August. Now, it's not going to be somebody with a huge name. It's not going to be somebody who's going to make a ton of money. Just a veteran guy who can be part of the rotation and maybe fight for a job. I still think we talked about a lot of things all offseason up until this point with all the new guys that are now here and all the guys who have left. I think the one thing we haven't talked about enough is how do you replace Sue? And I think that's going to be something we should be talking about more. I'm going to be talking about it more between now and August when they start camp. That's a big spot to fill that we have really not talked about much. Yes, I mean, let's be honest. At the end of the day, we're dependent on two second-year players, one of which was pretty good last year, but pretty good for one good year. You know, let's not get crazy with them. And also, of course, Jordan Phillips, who, you know, has just been someone who drives us as fans crazy at this team. Yes, they signed the guy from the Lions, Spence, but he's just an okay player. So I think we're going to be talking about that spot a lot here between now and August, because replacing Sue is not as easy as some fans think. I know some fans think we got four or five guys we can just throw in there, and we're going to be fine. Sue was on the field a lot in his time in Miami. I think he was on the field for almost every play. Literally almost. I mean, he never got hurt. He never slowed down. He never got tired. He was on the field a lot, and replacing him is not going to be that easy, and I think it's something we haven't spent enough time talking about that we will be talking about more. What are your thoughts on that, Bobby?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think they're going to hold off that money to hold it over for next year, but I agree that I would not be surprised if they may sign a one or two players. And I don't think it's going to be some big name. You know, we see the, you know, that familiar name, Jonathan Hankins, is a popular one.
Not going to be him. Won't be him.
Yeah, it's not going to be. You know, I don't expect no big name. You know, like, people need to get out of the fantasy land. Stop thinking of those big acorn-type players. You know, in regards to, you know, replacing Sue, I wouldn't be surprised, though. Not replacing you. Nobody can replace Sue or the impact that he had. Of course, nobody can do that. But I would not be surprised if you saw a player like Hayes rotating from the end position, coming into the inside, like, you know, rotating and, you know, coming in like that. But like you said, I agree, though, if Miami goes after one of those cheaper options, if, you know, look into the middle, I would think in middle preseason, when some of those veteran guys get cut, Miami goes after a cheaper option. I'm with you on that. I think, you know, I wouldn't think of a more expensive guy, but I think a cheaper option, and maybe even like a trade, like when they got Akeem Spence, I think something like that. But absolutely. I don't think any expensive guy.
No. And Hayes, you can slide him in there, you know, in certain spots. But the thing is, he's an end. He's not a full-time guy who can play defensive.
Oh, absolutely not, yeah.
You know, tackle. So,
no, but he's a thick, yeah.
Yeah, he can help out there to a point. At the end of the day, you're going to need guys like Jordan Phillips, Vincent Taylor, Spence, and Devon Godchow to be the guys who carry the weight at that spot. And I think they need one more guy, honestly. I really do. I know everyone's high on the undrafted rookie, Jamaeus Pittman. I hope I said his first name right.
Everybody's
high on him,
yeah.
But you know what? He went, as I said, he went undrafted for a reason, so I'm not going to get crazy about that until he actually shows something. But they need someone else there. They need someone else there in that spot, and I think we will sign someone at that spot eventually. Or look to add someone at that spot because
another linebacker too. I wouldn't be surprised. Another linebacker, yeah.
Yeah, but if they're healthy there, they probably have enough guys. If they're healthy, which is a big thing there with Alonzo and McMillan. If those guys are healthy, even though guys like Hall and Chase Allen, I am no fans of, if they are fifth or sixth linebackers, you know, that's not the end of the world. I think defensive tackle, they need one. I think they legitimately need one more guy to field a roster. That's where it's a little bit different. I think linebacker, you're right. They can always use a quality guy there, no doubt. But if they had to play a game next week, they'd be okay.
The guy they took in the seventh round, I'll look at him in the preseason. Let's see how he does. And then Anthony. If those two guys can do well in the preseason, then we'll go ahead and we'll be set. And then, of course, you got Hall, but, you know, and Allen, but, you know.
And they also signed
one guy from defensive tackle.
Yeah, and they also signed that one linebacker too from Seattle, Terrence Garvin,
right.
Who's
That's
more
right.
of a yeah. he's more of a special teams guy, but he can also play. He can help out at linebacker at least, and he might be a more athletic version of someone like Hall, which would knock him out of Miami Hall. And then you have someone like him, Garvin, so he could help there. Linebacker, if they're healthy. Look, once again, it's not great, but it's a lot better than it was last year, and they're more athletic than last year. So it's at least movement in the right way. They're getting slightly better. At this spot here, tackle, it's the opposite. They're getting slightly worse, which means I think you need to add someone because you are getting slightly worse at that spot. So that's why I think that would be the spot where if they add someone, it would be there. And we'll keep an eye out. I mean, there are still some guys out there right now who are not signed at that spot. They could be looking at one of them. Or once again, there could be some other team who, like you said, with the trade there for Spence, where it's just a numbers game. We got one too many guys here. And before they release them, they'll look, hey, can we get a sixth-round pick for somebody or like a seventh-round pick for somebody? Oh, here's Miami. So it could be that. But I think defensive tackle, they're going to add someone to that mix. And it'll be a veteran for sure who just is playing for the vet minimum 1 year, no big money. But just someone who can play, you know, if they give you 10 snaps a game, 15 snaps a game, to sort of spell some of those guys and be a presence to a certain extent, you know, at that spot, who can help out, that's all you're looking for. That's really all you're looking for. So I would not be shocked with that. Bobby, thanks so much for joining me tonight on the podcast, or today on the podcast on this Monday, June 11th. Always love having you on.
Absolutely, man.
The London and Jeff Show is a brand new Miami Dolphins podcast here on DolphinsTalk.com. Jeff is a 3-time Emmy Award-winning TV producer, and London is his 12-year-old son. Both are diehard Miami Dolphins fans who have their unique perspective on the team and the happenings taking place with the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to check out the London and Jeff Show exclusively right here at DolphinsTalk.com.
Once again, I'd like to thank Bobby Melendez from right here at DolphinsTalk.com for joining me on the podcast today. Always great to have him on. And we'll have another show out probably middle part of this week. Not exactly sure when yet. Working on a few things here. Maybe I'll have an interview for you later this week. If not, then we'll just do a regular show for sure. It's really slow this time of year, folks. It's really, really slow. There's not going to be a lot of news. The OTAs are going to start to slow down. The mini camps are going to start to slow down. There's not much happening. And unless some news breaks or somebody makes some news for whichever reason, there's not going to be a whole lot of stuff to talk about happening in the world of the Miami Dolphins. But we're going to have shows for you a few times a week, absolutely. So be on the lookout for that. Everyone, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. And if you want to send me an email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. So check me out there as well. You can send me an email, ask me a question, and such. Maybe we'll do a mailbag show this week. That's what I'll do. That's a good thing, because I know I mentioned that on the last show is like a mailbag show. I will go through my emails and clear them out, because I get hundreds of emails a day from people who listen to this podcast, and some of them are just people saying nice things and kind words, but some of them are just like a lot of questions they have, and maybe I'll read a bunch of them on the air, and we'll just do a mailbag show, because this is the time of year for something like that, because, as I said, not much is happening, so maybe middle part of this week we'll do a mailbag show. Always be sure to follow the websites that re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com, as well as the Facebook pages, the Miami Dolphins End Zone, Fanatics, and Doll Fanatics. So, that's all I have for today. Everyone, have a great day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.